Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chase and Michelle is presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life, create custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezovic, and the fantastic Rookie of the Year reporter, Nick Kieser, behind the glass here on this Monday. Could it happen? Could Tom Brady, when he loses tonight to the Dallas Cowboys, Stephen A. has got his Brady jersey on. What are we doing, Stephen? Come on. When that happens and he becomes a free agent this offseason, you know, I've been saying, I think Brady's going to play, but he's going to play for a different team. And I think that he's gotten rejuvenated, but in his mind, his ego won't allow him to go out. Even though they made the playoffs, and the only reason they battled back to make the playoffs was because of him, he's not going to go out like this. So I
listen, even if he says he's retiring, I'm not believing it until week one.
No. I think he is going to play somewhere else. But where could that be? Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network had an update on the potential landing spots for Tom Brady.
Meanwhile, on the other team playing in the Monday night game, Tom Brady is a free agent after the season, going to be 46 years old. And yeah, there is, I would say, a chance that he does not return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, despite the fact that they very much want him back and plan to make efforts toward that. Among the teams that would consider Brady, a couple of them considered Brady last time. The Tennessee Titans still have some quarterback questions there. The 49ers, if they do not decide to roll with Brock Purdy, although he's certainly stating his case. And then the Las Vegas Raiders, who have several of his old friends, including Rich, Josh McDaniels.
All right, that's Ian Rapoport. So I have felt pretty good. You know, at one point in time, I threw out the Jets. They could be a wild card, you know, because one thing to consider when you hear these rumors, and remember, we talked about what a rumor is last week. Is this Ian Rapoport being told by people in the know of, yeah, no, we're interested. We're going to talk to him. Obviously, we haven't yet, but we're going to talk to him. Or is he just connecting the dots that, well, he and Vrabel are buddies? Because I'm not convinced the Titans were ever in on him before. I just think that was out there because he and Vrabel are, you know, former teammates. San Francisco is where he's from, mm-hmm. You know, that area. That makes sense. And then the Raiders make a ton of sense because of McDaniels. I've been saying that I thought he'd end up in Las Vegas because Vegas has, of outside of San Francisco obviously has a ton of weapons. But I mean, they're going to go with one of the three they have, I think. I think Jimmy G is going to end up somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But he showed that he's got some value. So the Jets could be in on him, you know, one of these teams that Colts make a ton of sense. But so I think, you know, that's probably he's going to be out. You know, do they decide? I think a lot of what San Francisco does depends on how far they go. You know, if they go win the Super Bowl, then maybe they could say, hey, let's run it back with Purdy and trade Lance, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. But, I think Vegas totally makes sense for Brady because Josh McDaniels has had the most success in his career with Tom Brady as his quarterback. They have a relationship that's like two brothers, but they get each other. He would have Davante Adams to throw to. So the Raiders, to me, would be the front runner. I personally give the Titans less than 10%.
Yeah, and, you know, as far as Ian Rapoport's report on it, I wouldn't say there's nothing to it or him just connecting the dots because I think Ian Rapoport wouldn't just pick those teams. I feel like you could probably make a connection to a lot of different teams out there. I get the connections that he made with, you know, Vrabel and McDaniels and whether he stays with the Bucs. But, you know, the way I look at it is wouldn't every team want to try to get Brady, right?
Sure.
If Ian Rapoport.
Well, I don't know.
Not any team. Like, if you have Patrick Mahomes, if you have Burrow or Herbert, or if you have your star, but what is that, 10 teams in the NFL? But most teams would at least, you know, flirt with the idea, I guess you could say. But, I mean, I think that this team, it depends on where you go with it, right? So we talked about, you know, which way they go with the GM, the OC. I don't give it a high chance. I think if you're Tom Brady and you look at, well, Vegas, I got a elite-level wide receiver to throw it to in Davante Adams, and McDaniels worked with him before, like him.
Sure.
But also, too, there's a lot of other areas on that Raiders team that just isn't good, and Brady's chasing a ring, and that Raiders defense is not very good. Their O-line's okay, but does he want to go to a team? Yeah, you have Davante Adams. Don't get me wrong. You probably have a very electric offense, but is it a team that he sees is put together that in a year with the draft and offseason moves, they could make a push for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think here's how I look at it for Brady. If I'm a GM or head coach, if I'm the new GM in Vrabel, I don't do it because – to me, going after a 46-year-old quarterback, the only way you do it is if you are just perfect around him, that you have an offensive line, that you have several weapons at receiver, you have a run game, you have all those things, and you have a really, really good defense.
Like, if this team still had A.J. Brown,
sure,
I would give it a much bigger chance that he would come
here. But they don't. They have so many holes that if I'm Brady, I don't want to come here, because this is, you got to look at this as a 1 year thing. That don't give me the, you know, well, they could sign him to a 2 year deal.
No,
it's a 1 year thing. That he is going to go for it. He wants to be the only guy that's won three Super Bowls with three different teams, and that's how he keeps going. I think that of the three teams that are out there, San Francisco would obviously be the best one, but I just don't see them doing it. You know, now if they miss the Super Bowl, if they get to the NFC Championship game, or let's say they get to the Super Bowl and they lose, then maybe they do, and maybe it's like, hey, this is our last shot, you know, to do that. I mean, then think about it. That's three different quarterbacks that could try and get them there. But I if they win it, then why? I mean, what's the point? Like, you just won it. So, I mean, who cares? But the Raiders, to me, between the Raiders and the Titans, they have the most weapons. While I agree with you, they do have some holes, they have the most weapons to give him a legitimate shot to go after it. Other teams, there's probably going to be some that would come forward.
I like the Jets that you threw out
there.
Yeah,
I mean, the Jets, to me, feel like they're, you know, they obviously got some pieces they got to fill, but they're basically a quarterback away.
Mm-hmm.
I like their coach, you know.
We don't know what the Ravens are going to do.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's a good one. That's interesting. But I think –
just thinking the Michigan.
Ultimately, I think Lamar, you know, will end up being their quarterback. But, you know, you cannot ignore that he's 46 years old, or will be 46. When the season starts, he'll be 46.
Chase, I don't rule him out. I know he will be 46 years old, but the guy ceases to amaze us. I mean, I don't have him pulled up. I can pull him up here, but like, if you look at his numbers this year, and I know you cannot ignore the fact that he is going to be 46 years old, but we said that when he won in Tampa. What was that? Was that three years ago?
Two
years ago?
Yeah.
Because it was before. He won it at 44. I mean, I know he's going to be 46, right? Another year older. But honestly, I don't even look at the age factor with him anymore, just because I didn't think he'd be able to do at 44.
But you have to
a little bit.
But
it's 2 years.
I know, but still, like, look, I'm not Tom Brady. I don't have the workout routine Tom Brady does.
Dude ages backwards.
Okay? I don't. But I'm realizing at 35 years old that, like, I sneezed yesterday and I pulled something in my neck. I mean,
oh gosh.
That's where I am. Now, again, I'm prefacing this. I'm not Brady. Brady is in tremendous shape for his age. He's still going to be 46 years old. Like, eventually, Father Time is going to win. The TB12 stuff is not going to defeat Father Time. And I know that he's, you know, had personal stuff going on. You obviously, once that kind of got taken care of, you saw him play a lot better. He looked more like himself. I think he wants one more shot at it. Tampa's going to try to keep him. And look, he may decide, hey, I'm going to go back to Tampa. That may be the best fit. But
how many yards do you think he threw for this year?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's up there. I'm sure it's pretty good.
4,694.
Yeah, okay.
25 touchdowns.
Sure.
9 interceptions.
That's great numbers. He's still going to be 46. You can't ignore that.
But he's 45 right now.
He's the GOAT. I get
45
it.
Right now.
Who is he, Nick? Man, I thought you had it.
Oh.
Thought you had it.
That's why he's the GOAT. The GOAT.
He's the GOAT.
Listen, I get it. He's going to be 46 in what, a couple months?
August.
Nothing is over.
But
nothing.
I mean, watch. I really don't rule out the fact that they could win tonight, move on to the divisional round, and then.
Yeah, look, if here in.
I get the point, though, but I can't get
if
there.
If 3 months from now, Robbie Bourne sends out an email and says Titans will have Tom Brady's introductory press conference, I'll go. I'll be excited about it. We'll talk about it nonstop. And everybody will be like, all right, the greatest quarterback, the greatest player of all time is now a member of the Tennessee Titans. But. You will hear this a lot. You will hear me say, I hope that this is closer. This is funny to use him as an example. That this is Tom Brady leaving the Patriots to go to the Bucks, and it's that result. And I hope this isn't Joe Namath with the Rams. And I hope that this isn't, I mean, Montana was okay with the Chiefs, got them to the playoffs.
But Brady's different. He's so, like, what he has done and accomplished in his career,
he
probably never see again in our lifetime.
He's built different. I get it.
But I get the age factor. I do. But we didn't see it at 44. Didn't see it at 45.
A lot can change in 2 years. A lot. And a lot has changed.
At 40.
A lot has changed in 2 years. He's got to come in and you know, learn a whole new system. And
oh, I don't.
And look, and I'll say this too. He and Vrabel are buddies. They're pals. It's a different dynamic, head coach and quarterback. Different dynamic. I'm just saying. What do you think? 615-737-1025. Should the Titans pursue Tom Brady? There's also another one that's out there that we'll discuss coming up next. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game. The Preds will be back in action tomorrow. That'll be another chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you'll win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Preds Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 with Robbie and Rex Road. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Breaking news out of the college football world. I don't know how surprising it is, but I think there were some rumors. Again, there's that word. That maybe C.J. Stroud would return to Ohio State, but that is not the case. He has tweeted. Adam Schefter has tweeted. But he's, of course, given this long thing, you know, thanking everybody, thanking his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his family, his Buckeye teammates. And, you know, which is very well written, very cool to see him, you know, say all that. And then with that said, I'm declaring for the 2023 NFL draft. So
listen, he wanted to tease people. He had until the end of the day today. I thought for a second, you know, Marvin Harris Jr., he's going to be back. I thought maybe you want to chase for a natty, but good choice. Good choice, CJ Stroud declaring for the NFL draft. And listen, the Bears are probably getting excited because if he wasn't declaring and it was just
Bryce Young.
Oh my gosh, I had a brain fart there for a second. I'm like,
I got you. Teammates.
Thanks, Chaser.
Teamwork.
People would have been moving heaven and earth for that number one pick.
Yep. I think the Bears are sitting in a great position because they're
trade twice.
Oh yeah, I mean they're gonna have a bounty on their hands.
The funniest
for that
thing
pick.
Will be when the Texans trade to get the one.
Well, I mean, they're probably going to have to.
And they shot themselves in the foot the last game of the year. Lovie Smith said,
Lovie.
Peace out.
Lovie's like, I know I'm getting fired. So two point, come on, let's go.
He's like, here you go, Bears, a little lob for you.
I love it.
And I'm out of here.
I love that. Look, that was a baller move.
That was a power move.
Like, if I knew, like, I'm getting fired, I'm going to screw you out of the number one overall pick.
He's like, now you're going to have to give up
like,
all this.
I am throwing up double birds.
That was a double bird
instead
moment.
Instead of holding up the two fingers for the two-point conversion, I did the double bird. That's what I would do. That's how you know.
He's like, you're welcome.
That's how you know. But I'm not that surprised. C.J. Stroud will declare for the draft. Look, I mean, I think there's a chance he could fall to 11.
C.J.?
He probably doesn't, but he could.
The reason I don't think so is because if you look at the top 11 teams – everybody except for the Eagles, everybody except for the Cardinals, and there's one other team there, don't need a quarterback. Every other team needs one.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think he could drop to 11. Will Levis will probably be there.
Yeah, he could. He could. But, you know, I think it all depends on if you make the move for a veteran, like we're discussing, whether it's Tom Brady or, as Colin Cowherd thinks, Aaron Rodgers. I thought this was an interesting take that he had, Nick. When I look back and I don't see Nick, I get worried about calling for a soundbite. but this was an interesting take that Colin Cowherd had on his show last week of the Titans potentially going after Aaron Rodgers.
Mike Vrabel played with Tom Brady. He is absolutely one of the smartest coaches in the league. He knows the importance of the position. And he's now in a conference where Trevor Lawrence looks like a top five quarterback.
Yep.
He's in a conference with Mahomes and Allen.
Yep.
And Burrow and Herbert.
Yep.
And Trevor Lawrence. All the good young guys. And Vrabel is going to get on the phone after this season because there's no dead cap hit for Tannehill. And he's going to say, Aaron, get the F down here. He's going to play to his vanity. Mahomes, Burrow, Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, I need you. He understands quarterback. Aaron's never had great defenses in Green Bay.
Okay, that was Colin Cowherd. So, number one, there is a dead cap hit for Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
It's $18.8 million. Now, I think there's some June 1st stuff that they could be less. Mm-hmm. So they could obviously do it that way, but they're not going to get out of this free and clear. They would save money, but they're not going to get out of it free and clear mm-hmm. by any means.
Well, and in addition, Green Bay would have to pay, I think it's $40 million or something, because they just gave Aaron that huge contract. So
yeah.
Green Bay is still going to get hit with a lot. Like, they're not going to let him go and be on the hook for that money.
Look, I'm going to quote Vincent Kennedy McMahon and say there is no chance in hell that this happens. I believe no chance. I think Brady has a light years better chance of happening because he's a free agent than Aaron Rodgers coming to Nashville. Now, as soon as I've said that, this is going to be played all over our shows
he gets here.
I'll be like, well, whatever, you know. But I
ask you this question. Let's say if the Titans do get Brady, if they get a veteran quarterback, do you still draft somebody?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I'll tell you what. Okay, so I don't think Brady's
happening
either. Because
it's only going to be a 1 year. Well,
sure.
Just hypotheticals here.
But in the hypothetical world in which we live, let's say they get Brady. So they've moved on from Tannehill. They sign Brady. You know, Brady's not going to break the bank because one, he's 46 years old, and two, this is just fun for him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's the good thing about Brady is he doesn't care much about these huge contracts because he's like, I want to have good players around me. He's always been like that, always been able to, you know, restructure or whatever he needs to do. So
I'll tell you the guy that I would then draft, because I wouldn't spend the first round pick on a quarterback because you want to get Brady weapons. So
yeah,
either offensive line or another
receiver
or some sort of offensive help is what I would do there. I would keep an eye on Hendon Hooker, because Hendon Hooker is going to have a red shirt year in the NFL. You're not expecting him to be a day one guy anyway. If you draft Hendon Hooker and he sits behind Brady and he's learning from Brady, that's a win, in my opinion. And then you evaluate, you know, Brady might be like, hey, Vrapes, let's run it back one more year. I'll play until I'm 80, you know, what have you. And that just gives Hendon Hooker even more time. But that, to me, is the kind of formula that you would want, mm-hmm. is a guy like Hendon Hooker that you don't even have to worry about. And you keep Malik Willis, you know, just carry three quarterbacks. Or Josh Dobbs, you know, whoever. And move on
to
from
UT
Malik
guys.
Willis. Yeah, you know, VFLs. And you just don't have to worry about it. You let him learn.
No, I like that idea. I think the only downfall of Hendon is we just haven't seen him run an NFL offense. He's obviously coming off the injury. But if he was able to be a guy who could sit under Brady for a year, you just run the same risks of what happened this year when your quarterback gets hurt and you don't have a true backup quarterback, which I know a lot of other teams do it, and they have their rookie, you know, sit under a guy for a couple of years so they can gain experience. But you could get Hendon Hooker probably in the – I'm looking at I'm on NFLDraftBuzz.com where it says all the projections. It's got Bryce. Here it's got Will, then CJ, Hendon Hooker being the fourth quarterback to be off the board for this one. But, yeah, I mean, he's a smart guy.
I feel like he's a day two guy for sure.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked if he fell to day three. Like, if he's a third or a fourth round guy because of the injury, I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Well, yeah.
I also wouldn't be shocked if teams, you know, reached on him.
Well, and people probably forget that, you know, he was the front runner for the Heisman. And then,
yeah,
obviously, you know, the Georgia game didn't play very well. Yep. And then he got hurt and he didn't play in the postseason. And he's been, you know, rehabbing the knee. But I don't know where his rehab is or how he is right now or if he'll even be able to compete in the combine. But
right. I doubt it.
He could be a great, you know, second round, maybe third round pick.
To me, he's
under
the
radar.
He is a low risk, high reward pick.
That's what he said about Malik Willis.
But even more so than him, because he's just gonna, like, it's a wash this year. It's a redshirt year. And I think that's really important.
This is the exact same thing we said last year about Malik Willis, though.
Yeah, but Hendon Hooker's better. I mean, right now I would take Hendon Hooker over Malik Willis without even thinking about it. Right now. Yeah. It's not even a thought for me.
I don't know.
But we'll
I would
see.
Have to think on that one.
We'll ask Cotton. Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360. It's Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up in about 30 minutes live from Bridgestone Arena. But every Monday at 10:30, Jonathan Hutton, Outkick 360, joins the show. Hut, what's up?
Good morning. Great to be back on with you guys. Chase, hope everything is well. Michelle?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm feeling great this morning.
Yeah, look, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Her and Chad are in a little bit of a tiff right now. So we might have to step in at some point. You know, Kentucky fan over here, Tennessee fan with Chad. Okay. So.
Chad okay. chose war on Twitter this morning, Hutton. I would just like to inform you of that. He chose war.
It's not war. So it's a tiff.
So does that mean that Chad's also going to come on the show today?
No, but it should happen.
In the future.
It might have to happen at some point. We might have to have
that would be good.
Me step in and, you know, have therapy here. But let's get into the Titans. Obviously not participating in Super Wild Card Weekend. We know that. We know that the GM interviews are underway. Offensive coordinator interviews are being requested. I said earlier, and I want to see if you agree with this, that the more I think about it and the more I read some of the tea leaves, I still think that it's going to be Cowden or Monty Austinfort getting the GM job and they stay internal. And I think they're going to go outside for OC. Do you agree with that or disagree?
I mean, I can see it being an internal elevation, I guess, for the Titans. But it's just a guess because I don't know what specifically they're looking for in the next general manager. We have not been told that directly from ownership and those in the room who report to ownership. So let's start there. Externally for the OC, that also, I mean, knowing that they're reaching out to potentially talk with Bieniemy and Matt Nagy with ties to the Kansas City Chiefs tells me that they are definitely considering all options not named Tim Kelly.
Yep.
But Tim Kelly being elevated to play caller also makes total sense to me. I think both ways can easily be linked up. But Chase, this is for offensive coordinator, let's start there. It needs to be a hire that is capable of layering calls. You know, having defensive coordinators chase the next call instead of defending the next call. And I don't think that's happened here since Arthur Smith was the offensive coordinator. So if Tim Kelly's that guy, he's that guy that Vrabel will trust. But also, I mean, bringing in Bieniemy or Nagy, who are trying to climb the ladder and be a head coach either for the first time or again, much like we've seen with the OCs here, two of the last three, and LaFleur and Smith. You know, pairing up with Vrabel's not a bad idea because you know that you're going to have a solid top 10-like defense. And I just don't buy the whole rebuild, tear it down mantra because there's no way this head coach buys into that line of thinking whatsoever. So I think it's a pretty safe bet that the OC would see that too. And from a general manager stance, you know, it's – I don't know why, if you're tired of the same old depth and the same evaluation process, that you just promote from within. But that's just me. And my guess is in these meetings, someone is going to come across the same way John Robinson did, who was coming from Tampa, that will make an excellent first impression, and they'll end up sticking with that person. That's what Amy said whenever John sat down across from them.
Yeah, well, and here's what I think, too. I think whoever Vrabel is the most comfortable with is who's going to get the job. It's not that, you know, yeah. Vrabel necessarily wants to have all of the power, but Amy's made it pretty clear that Vrabel's going to be a part of this process and both of them are going to report to her, not Vrabel reporting to a GM. So I think if he goes through this process and, you know, they go through a second round of interviews that he's a part of and he says, you know what, I really like working with Ryan. We've been on the same page with personnel moves. Let's just go with that. That's going to be the move she makes.
Yeah, and I also, you know, it's the collaboration is what you're hinting at there, and that makes total sense. I mean, you've got I don't think he's going to have the control that maybe we as a group, as an area, whenever you're thinking that Robinson's out and Vrabel's in,
yeah.
Excuse me, you think that he's taking full control. I don't see that. But what I do see is more of and I think he was vocal behind the scenes anyway. Look, Chase, and you know this, Vrabel is not going to be someone that remains silent in a private meeting with the general manager.
No.
Even if he doesn't have full control. Even if he doesn't have personnel say. So with that in mind, he's going to be extremely opinionated. He's going to, you know, he adapts to the roster, which is something that the OC needs to do as well. And they have to be in lockstep. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You can't be we're going to win the battle in the trenches type team and then be finesse and expect it to work from the front office for a head coach that's opposite you. So, yeah, I mean, I think it makes total sense that they collaborate. I don't think that Vrabel comes in and says, yeah, don't like this, we're doing this. I think it'll be more in the line of, okay, here's what we're thinking, here's what we need to do. General manager is personnel, and Vrabel's in charge of his staff and how they go about using that personnel.
We've got Jonathan Hutton on with us of Outkick 360. Jonathan, so this weekend, obviously, rumors came out of the Tennessee Titans requesting to interview an Eric Bieniemy, a Matt Nagy. If they do go that route with offensive coordinator and that Andy Reid-style offense, do you see a Derrick Henry being a part of this team next year?
Yes. Yeah, because you can't look at the Chiefs and think, oh, they look at this offense because they don't run the football. They have Patrick Mahomes. The Tennessee Titans do not. And they're not even close to having that type of player. He's not in the draft. He's not a free agent. And while you have Tannehill was good with a running back behind him and a play caller that excelled with play action that didn't tip plays and didn't come up with very predictable down and distances, so here's the play call type feel. The Chiefs also use their pass game, their short pass game, as an extension of their run, and they have tried to run it more. Mm-hmm. But with Mahomes, they just make up for it. You know, they've got the MVP, who's going to be the two-time MVP after this playoff run, who's passed for 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns. So that all plays into why Kansas City's offense is viewed that way, and rightfully so. The new OC here, even if it is Bieniemy or Matt Nagy or anyone, they have to adapt to the personnel that they have. And right now, the easiest way to go about doing that, and also just make sure that you're taking advantage of, you know, what's in the cupboard currently versus what you're going to add, which is going to be a lot more speed if they're going that direction. They're one of the slowest offenses in the league, Michelle. You lean on the run game. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be Derrick Henry, but I do think they still will emphasize a run game. And that's what Vrabel has done since he became the head coach. That's what he emphasized with Arthur Smith. That's what he emphasized prior to Arthur with Matt LaFleur. That's what he emphasized currently, and that's what he will emphasize moving forward. I don't think that changes. And I also don't think it handcuffs them to where they can't be a modern NFL offense while also having that same mantra, because in 2020, they rushed for 2,000 yards by an individual while also passing for 4,000 by an individual. They should have had two 1,000-yard wide receivers. Corey Davis missed a game towards the end of the season that year. He ended up with just about 900. And then they had two tight ends that flourished, including Jonnu Smith, who had 700 yards receiving. So, yeah, they can still throw the football and take advantage of defenses trying to load the box and still be a run first, in the trenches, gut it out, punch you in the mouth type team that Vrabel will always continue to emphasize.
Well, and it's that time of year again with all of the Tom Brady rumors. Ian Rappaport came out with a report this weekend saying four teams that would be interested in Brady: Titans, Raiders, 49ers, and the Bucks, of course. What are your thoughts on this? And do you think it is a reality of any sorts in getting Tom Brady next season?
He's going to be 46 years old. 46.
Age doesn't matter with this guy.
I do not throw out any scenario with Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady respect Mike Vrabel the same way Vrabel respects them. Keep that in mind. They're not going to go play for some scrub coach. Also keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. So the biggest surprise in all these reports, where are the Dolphins? Where are the Miami Dolphins for Tom Brady? It sounds like they're going back to Tua. Now, that can be window dressing, but the Dolphins were in heavy pursuit of Tom Brady a year ago to pair him with Sean Payton, and now no one's even mentioning them on these lists, which is a layup where you're like, oh, you just kind of glance over it because, yeah, we've heard that before, and they're not there. So it's more about what I haven't heard than what we're hearing. And, yeah, they're – Brady and Vrabel are always going to be linked up because of their history together. But it's, you know, for everyone saying burn down the facility and, you know, rebuild everything, I will present and blind carbon copy you on the email that I'll send out of the 2022 New York Football Giants, who were won four games a year ago. And I will also blind carbon copy you on the Tampa Bay Bucks prior to Tom Brady going there. Brady and Rodgers will bring people with them, and they will instantly make you a playoff caliber team battling for the postseason, even in their worst seasons, at age 46, or in a disgruntled year where somehow Aaron Rodgers can't be happy even when making $50 million a season. But no, I don't throw it out because, again, in my realistic scenario, I don't think they can do better than Tannehill this offseason. In a future rebuild-type scenario, retool, how do you keep your playoff opportunity open in this division while also trying to build around that foundation, rebuild that foundation, where you bring in guys that do fit the overall culture? Well, you have guys that will help bridge that gap, and these two are more than just gap fillers. These guys are going to a spot where they can compete and win. I don't think the Titans are as high on that list as the other teams you mentioned by any means. Vegas, to me, makes total sense for either guy. But, you know, you can find pairings anywhere. And the organization that lands one of the two, they will be, you know, conceding to bring in some other guys with them because that's what these guys will demand. And I don't blame them, and neither should the team, because the team's going to improve.
You heard it here. Brady and Gronk to Nashville. That's what I just took from that.
Take a Kentucky victory lap for me today, Hutton.
Hey, it was a last stand feel, and the Wildcats got it done in what was a sloppy, ugly game. But they got a big win on the road in Knoxville, so congratulations to the Cats.
Take the L, Chad.
There you go. Jonathan Hutton with us from Outkick 360. Hut, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, sounds good, guys. Thanks, Hutton. Look forward to it. Have a good day.
You too. Outkick 360 weekdays from 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. You can also hear Hutton on Wednesdays with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace at noon. We will return, and you know, I'm going to let Michelle take her victory lap for her Cats and talk a little college hoops. We'll do that next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life. Creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Keezer on the ones and twos. Appreciate Jonathan Hutton for joining us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will have more on the Titans coming up next. But I had to let Michelle have her victory lap. Because Kentucky Wildcat. Before we get into that, I got to shout out Vandy, though.
Oh, we got to shout out Vandy.
Big win over Arkansas. And off the top of my head, that's got to be Stackhouse's biggest win since he's been there. I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, the 15th ranked team. I mean, but look, Vandy's scrappy. And
yeah,
they got a win. They were hanging with Tennessee and ended up losing that one, but they're scrappy. But that's a heck of a win for them to get that done.
Yeah,
they don't all have to be pretty, but
they won 97-84. Arkansas is the 15th ranked team in the country right now. So, yeah, I mean, it probably is Jerry Stackhouse's biggest win. If we're missing one, let us know in the text line. 615-737-1025. But I think, I mean, that is Eric Musselman has made that Arkansas program, brought them to the Final Four a couple years ago. That is a top SEC program now, especially the last couple years under him. But I would love to take my victory lap, Chase. Listen, I ranted on Friday, I think it was Friday or Thursday, about how I was over Cal. Listen, it was just a rash reaction on my front. All is well in the world because winning just fixes everything.
It does.
Big win in Knoxville, broke their 25 game win streak at home. So Kentucky wins. It was an ugly game, a very defensive, not a pretty shooting game. But I mean, Tennessee is ranked 5th. I haven't checked the standings today, but I'm sure they've been adjusted. I'm sure Tennessee's still probably in the top 10, but this Kentucky team finally seemed to figure out some things. They obviously always have good talent, but haven't been able to put it together. But I was talking to Joe this morning, you know, about this Tennessee team, and the argument is always March. Okay, well, they can be a top team in the country all year, but what can they do in March? What can Rick Barnes do in March? And they have great players on this team, but unfortunately, last year they had a Kennedy Chandler where, you know, if something was going wrong or somebody couldn't, you know, make a play, Kennedy Chandler was their guy. They could count on Kennedy Chandler to make a play. They could count on him to put the team on his back. I mean, he's in the NBA now. Of course they could. He's one of the best players and at the point guard as well. But this year, they don't have that one guy who can take over a game if need be. They have a lot of veteran players on their team, but they don't have that one guy or that great guard who can take over a game if need be, and really great guard play as a whole. And that's what you need to win in March. I know it's only January 16th right now, but they got a deep bench, but it'll be interesting to see how they trend these next couple of weeks.
So I'm not going to lose my mind over one game in January. So let me just say that.
No, you Vols fans, you shouldn't.
But, and I've been pretty consistent on this, that Rick Barnes, while I don't disrespect his resume, he gets teams to the tournament. He hasn't performed in March. I mean, he gets them there, but then they don't do anything with it. And Tennessee right now is a fifth-ranked team in the country. Obviously, they're going to drop. But, you know, and you're going to have some hiccups along the way. That's fine. This is not a good Kentucky team. Just no offense. They're not. But
they have good talent. They
haven't put it all together. This is my biggest knock on Rick Barnes, though, of that you got this team that has all the talent in the world, and they look like, hey, they're built to go on a run, and then they're going to just have these lapses. And again, I recognize this is January. This is mid-January. Show me in March. But this is just the stuff I've seen over the years, and until I actually see them go on a deep run with Rick Barnes as the head coach, I'm just going to kind of be here going like, okay.
Well, I mean, when you look at this game, it's always going to be a tough game between them. I mean, the SEC, sure, just across the board as far as basketball schools, they've stepped up big time. I mean, you've seen Arkansas, you've seen Auburn, you've seen these other programs, not just Kentucky, make runs in the tournament. Tennessee, you know, they've had great teams. They've had the opportunity to, but I wouldn't say, I mean, this is an awful loss to Kentucky. Yeah, they're not a ranked team, but they still have, you know, top five recruiting class, top five talent in the country. So when you look at all this, it's easy to say, oh, this Kentucky team sucks. And believe me, I've watched a lot of them. They've played pretty sucky, pretty bad. And it's very easy to be like, oh, they suck. They lost to a sucky team. But, I mean, you still lost to a team who easily could be a tournament team every year. So I don't look at it as that bad of a loss for Tennessee. I mean, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a Kentucky fan, but yeah, Tennessee had been playing, you know, at such an elite level early on in the season, and Kentucky had been playing at an awful level. The team looked horrible. But when a team figures out how to put it together, they're not, like, they have good talent. So, like, it's not like a, like, when people are looking at this, like, oh my God, I can't believe we lost. It's like, okay, well, here's the thing. You missed so many open layups. There you go. That's one. Couldn't shoot. I mean, and I don't know why they didn't keep going to Euros Plazvic. I can barely say his name. It's so hard. I mean, he's like 4 inches taller than Oscar Tshiebwe and could make everything in the lane. He's 7'1". Oscar's 6'9". So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, but Joe made a good point of you see the pressure get to some of the guys on this team, and yeah, they're great veteran leaders, but we saw it in March and saw it Thompson Bowling on Saturday.
Yeah, you got to win that at home. But look, like I said, it's mid-January. We'll see. Alabama's got a couple of blemishes on their record. I mean, every team, there's no undefeated team. So, look, it is what it is. Houston still number one team in the country, and then Kansas, Purdue, Bama, Tennessee right now before the next round of rankings come out. So congratulations to your Cats. I know
it's
it was
always
a, good day
a nice
for you.
Silver lining when Kentucky's one of their worst teams can
and,
beat Tennessee's
you know, in a
best.
Week, you'll be wanting to fire Cal again. So
that's okay.
It's just the up and down roller coaster.
The up
ride
and
that
down life of being a fan of a team. Tennessee sure. Titans fans understand, Cowboys yeah. fans understand. Preds fans understand. Some days you want to just fire somebody.
Yeah, look.
But then if you win, it's like, I love you again.
Here's what I'll say on tonight, And I do think the Cowboys are going to win, but either way, I'm going to win because the Cowboys, if they win the game, they advance and they keep playing. If they lose, then Sean Payton will be a great head coach. So I can't
wait.
I think
he's going to the Chargers.
I think that's got a really good chance. But if they lose tonight, Jerry will do everything in his power to get Peyton. And that is a little bit of a dream job.
Yeah, but
that's where he coached.
Young QB talent.
I think that Sean Payton could do wonders for Dak, though. With Herbert, absolutely. But I think he could do wonders for Dak.
This is going to be the coaching carousel of the offseason. I hope we have a lot of big coaching moves, a lot of big quarterback movement. Love the offseason, Chase.
Oh, I know. Who doesn't? And we'll have you covered right here. Coming up next, it's Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. They're live at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena, getting set for Predators and Flames tonight, but they will have full reaction. I can't wait to hear their reaction to Super Wild Card Weekend. That is all coming up next. My thanks to Nick Kieser, Michelle Knezovic. I'm Chase McCabe. Have a great rest of your Monday every day here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.